Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It is a Friday. It is great to have you in live from Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. It's iHeartRadio. It's Fox Sports Radio. It is FS1. Packed today. Clippers Jazz tonight. Nets lost to the Bucks last night. Phoenix just sitting around waiting for this party to get started. Phoenix Suns are just... All right, we did our job.
Well, they probably have a little anxiety.
Little,
right now.
Chris Paul.
Yes, but you like the extra rest.
So, here we sit this morning. It is, there's so many things. Last year we had the bubble, and it was the year of the young teams doing better than expected, and this year it's the healthy teams that are doing better than expected. The Phoenix Suns are the really healthy team. So let's just start with Brooklyn, Milwaukee. Listen, Brooklyn's playing 5.5 guys. James Harden right now is about 50-60%. That's what they're playing. Brooklyn's playing with 5.5 guys. They looked exhausted by the end of the game. I know fans always want me to give their team credit. Listen, the Raptors won a title because Golden State stars were all hurt. You weren't the best team. I can't give you credit. Visa's in the credit business. I'm not. Milwaukee shooting 28% from three-point land. 68% from the free throw line. If Kyrie was healthy, if Harden's 90%, series is over. It'll be over this weekend. Brooklyn's going to win it. But when Kyrie was healthy, and again, that's with two other stars, you know what I mean? Kyrie was averaging 23-24 a game, 5. He'd be the difference. Harden would be the difference. You don't even need both of them to beat Milwaukee. If you just gave me Harden at 100% and KD, you'd win the series. If you give me the first two games, I basically got KD and Kyrie healthy. They blew Milwaukee out. The games weren't even competitive. So, and it's funny because there's this sense, the stars always get the calls. The truth is about the NBA, and they did a study on this years ago. It's far worse in college than the NBA, but home teams get the calls. Because of the proximity of fans to the game, they're right on the floor. Referees hear that, and they are influenced more than an NFL official 20 yards from the crowd, a hockey official, there's glass, baseball, you're miles away. But in basketball, officials, because fans are right on the floor, they're screaming, foul, come on, foul. We're human beings, you're influenced. Now, college basketball, according to the study I read, way worse than the NBA. NBA refs are just better, less influenced. But the home teams get the calls. And think about this. Where does the average NBA series start and finish? At home for the better team. The better team had the better record. They get the first two at home. They take a lead. And there's middle games for the road team. And then the better team gets the last game at home. So when you're watching the first two games of a series, your first thing you see is, oh, the stars are getting the calls. And then if it goes to a deciding seventh game, you're seeing, well, the stars got the calls. No, the home team got the calls. If you watch this series, Milwaukee is allowed to play hyper-physical at home. The refs are letting them grab and pull. How can you tell? Look at the stats. The Nets are shooting almost 50% at home and 41% on the road. What, Kevin Durant forgets to shoot on the road? The three-point line, it's even worse. 42% for the Nets at home, 28% on the road. So the officials are actually, in this series, the influence of the officials has been very much pro-Milwaukee. They're letting the more physical team grab and clutch at home. This was, for years, the secret sauce of the Utah Jazz was Stockton and Malone and Jerry Sloan. They were always the best home team in the NBA, but they were strangely average on the road for being a great team. Why? Because they played so physical. And the only team that could beat them was Chicago, who had a relentless Rodman, Jordan, Pippen, Ron Harper, Rodman. They were even more physical. But Milwaukee right now, with Drew Holiday and P.J. Tucker and Brooke Lopez and Forbes. They're a more physical team now. They were finessed 2-3 years ago. They're physical, and it's giving them a huge break at home. So fans think the Stars get the call. The home team gets the call. Look at Milwaukee at home. They're a totally different team. And, I mean, nothing against Giannis and Middleton. But the Nets are not only tired offensively, they're tired defensively. When Middleton and Giannis combine to shoot 64%, I like them. Ain't that good. That's better than Michael Jordan. They're not that good. So I look at Brooklyn as a shot fighter, a tired team. They got to go home, sleep in their own bed, get up for Game 7. You know Harden will be better in Game 7. He was better last night than he was in Game 5. He'll be better in Game 7, probably 75-80%. I mean, after the game, even the coach for the Nets, Steve Nash, sounded tired.
We weren't well tonight offensively. You know, out of rhythm, out of sync. You know, we definitely didn't play the way we wanted to play, the way we planned to play. And I would say that for the entire game. You know, we had a couple stretches where we played okay, but really didn't play the way we wanted to play offensively. But just not a great game from us. We just didn't have our best stuff tonight, and, you know, we got a Game 7 on our home floor.
They didn't have their best stuff. It's hard when people are tackling you. All right, so I talked to Mark Cuban last night briefly. Mark Cuban has gotten rid of his general manager, and he moved on, and his coach, Rick Carlisle. I'm not going to tell you everything, but I will say this. The one thing Mark did share with me with Luka's 22 years old. He became a global sensation in the last 6 months. It's hard. It's hard for 32-year-olds, 42-year-olds, 52-year-olds. He's 22. He's emotional. He and Rick Carlisle sometimes argued. Oh, boy, end of the world. He had a lot of technicals this year. Mark told me yesterday, hey, we're just working through it. Great kid. Great kid. Fantastic kid. He's 22 years old, became a global star. Give him a break. So here's what's really happening, and Mark Cuban didn't tell me this, but this is my belief on what's happening in Dallas. So we all know in life that if something happens to us earlier and we kind of screw it up, and then we have the second opportunity to do something, our first experience will influence our second experience. So they drafted an international star, Dirk Nowitzki, and wasted a lot of time with him. They drafted him in 98. And they didn't get a title till 2011, and they were rarely special. Then they draft Luka, who plays a lot like Dirk. You can't stop him, except he's better than Dirk, and he's 22, and he's international, and they ain't going to screw this thing up. There is a sense of urgency in Dallas. We got our second Dirk Nowitzki, and he's better sooner. And it's ramped everything up. And they've had him for 3 years, and they've only made the playoffs twice, and they got bounced early in both of them. I get it. You had Dirk. And don't get me wrong. Dirk had a great career, and you should be very proud of the championship. It was a crazy team. But you drafted him in 98, and you didn't win a title until 2011, and you were rarely special. And I talked to Mark about this months ago, and he said, hey, we made some mistakes. And then it's almost like you photocopied him and you got Luka again. And Dallas like, okay. We got the better version of him. Even Dirk came out last week and said, no, Luka's better than I was. And it's like, okay, it's natural now. They're not going to waste any time. Because there was a sense with Dirk, and this is my opinion, they kind of wasted some time. So Donnie Nelson, let's talk about him. The race for Luka is to get a number two. Porzingis ain't it. Hardaway's not it. Good players, not it. Donnie Nelson, the year before Luka, had the number 9 pick in the draft. He drafted a bust, Dennis Smith. You know who got drafted after that? Donovan Mitchell. If Donovan Mitchell was drafted with Luka, this team's in the finals multiple times. Can't make those mistakes. Can't make those mistakes. It's not like you went Donovan Mitchell to a borderline all-star. Bust. 4 picks later, Donovan Mitchell. Time to go. You also wildly overpaid for Porzingis. Time for the GM to go. Rick Carlisle, good guy. 3 years, 2 playoffs. You're 61. He's 22. Generationally, it's probably not perfect. I mean, Stan Van Gundy, Zion, generationally, probably not perfect. It's amazing Joy and I get along. I'm like the Stan Van Gundy of hosts. But the reality is, this is the natural progression when you had Dirk and draft Luka. They're not going to mess around here in Dallas. I've been saying this for 2 weeks. It is now a race to get Luka a two. If I'm Luka, I do sign an extension. But Mark's got pressure on him now. The GM whiffed on Dennis Smith and overpaid for Porzingis. That's going to trap you now if you sign Luka to a massive contract if you can't unload that. Then the NBA has got to match salaries, so good luck getting rid of that massive contract for a big that gets hurt and super expensive. And by the way, Luka doesn't get along with him. They don't get along very well. So we can all freak out, but when you get a superstar this young, and by the way, when Luka has been in the playoffs so far the two times, he's averaged 34, 10, and 9. Dallas is not keeping up with Luka. Luka is carrying them. I mean, he has to be on the floor. You watch the Dallas Mavericks against the Clippers. He's off the floor. They're not even the same. They're not even a playoff team. I mean, so they have to draft somebody that can give Luka 5.5, 6 minutes, a half off, let him play off the ball a little. You can't ask this kid to play 47 minutes without a two. You see how exhausted Durant, and Durant's the best scorer in the world with 10 years of experience on Luka. And you can see him last night. I mean, he's still great, but he's not quite the same, just in back-to-back games. So, you know, this is one of these classic, oh my God, what's going on? Mark Cuban, what's going on? I talked to Mark. He's like, listen, we got a 22-year-old superstar. He's a global superstar. He's a great kid. We're just working our way through this stuff. And it's just, you land these stars, you got to get stuff right, and you got to get stuff right fast. And I've said this, the draft now is a total crapshoot. Increasingly, you get 1 year of tape from college or no years of tape. A kid goes to G League like Jalen Green or Jalen Suggs, the two top picks next year. Suggs, you get 1 year of Gonzaga film, and Green, you get 1 year of G League film. That's what, I mean, you're guessing, you're projecting on some of these kids. I mean, they're both going to be good. Suggs and Green are both going to be good, but how good? How much do you know? It's not the NFL where I got 3 and 4 years of tape. So they got to get on this stuff. A 61-year-old coach, Rick Carlisle, emotional guy. Luka and he had some tension. Boom, it's time to go. Rick's had a great career. He's fine. He'll get a job somewhere. But it's time. Blow it up. Let's go. GM overpaid for Porzingis. Butcher the Dennis Smith pick. Boom, it's time to go. Fresh start. Let's get a little younger around Luka. Let's get whoever you got to get. Let's get a little younger. Let's get some new eyeballs, a new voice, new sound, new look, new vibe. It's okay. It happens. This is the NBA. But there's a lot of stuff now. Oh, there's chaos. The media is a little hyperbolic sometimes, right? A little bit. I don't know. You made the playoffs. You took the Clippers 7. It's not the end of the world. It's just time to get a new GM and a new coach.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Talked about Luka in Dallas. I think it's the natural progression of having Dirk, then getting Luka, the general manager overpaid for Porzingis, bust on the Dennis Smith pick, Donovan Mitchell drafted after. You know, my feeling is they just have a sense of urgency and that Dallas has proven it can be a good basketball city. They can win a championship. It's a very, very solid organization, top to bottom, not perfect. Now, Zion is unhappy, reportedly, in New Orleans. These are two different stories. According to reports, Zion family wants him out of New Orleans and the Pelicans. Stan Van Gundy got a lot of the heat because he was he's a pretty rigid guy, demanding coach, and Zion's family didn't like that. But let's try to contextualize this here. Anthony Davis, get me out of here. Zion, his family, get me out of here. We went and looked up this morning when Chris Paul left. He wanted out of there. Three stars, get me out of here. It's not a small market thing. Westbrook loved Oklahoma City. Damian Lillard loves Portland. Donovan Mitchell, John Stockton Malone, love Salt Lake City. Milwaukee historically has kept a lot of their stars. Don't make this a small market issue. San Antonio, Kawhi is the exception. Tony Parker liked it. Duncan liked it. Robinson liked it. Kawhi just had a Greg Popovich issue. Small market, Ja Morant has no issues. If you watch Memphis, the team that they're putting together, he got no issues there. Let's not say this is all small market. Vancouver is one of the great cities in America, in North America, Vancouver, BC. Stevie Francis couldn't get out of there fast enough. And it has beautiful women, beautiful scenery, big city. They're New York Knicks. They can't get anybody. It's New York. Nobody wants to play in Washington, D.C. It's like our seventh biggest city. Don't blame small market. This is New Orleans. It's a college football town. It's an NFL town. And the Benson family, proud, proud owners of the Saints, have done a very good job. I think they cared more about that pass interference call or no call against the Rams than they did about retaining Anthony Davis. Remember what happened. The NBA had moved a team from Charlotte to New Orleans. And then the owner, see you later. I want to sell the team. But the NBA was demanding the new owner had to stay in Louisiana and New Orleans. Well, the Benson family is the richest family, I think, in the state. There weren't a lot of offers. They went to the Benson family who owned the Saints and said, will you take them? They gave the Benson family an unbelievably low price, $338 million. And that was a decade ago. They could sell them now for 4 to 5 times that. With Zion, you could sell that team tomorrow for 4 to 5 times that. So, you know, this is like a side hustle. I mean, they're Saints owners. The Saints are a great franchise. That's where their passion plays. This was it's a good price. And Gail Benson, according to John Hollinger, who's a well-connected guy, he says the Bensons are not currently seeking to sell, but they're losing money while finishing in the lottery has not been an enjoyable side venture to the main business of running the Saints. So, you know, Anthony Davis felt like this isn't really – I had a massive agent text me yesterday. He said, see, this is the second, third guy that wants out. Nobody's taking a shot at New Orleans, but – you know, let's be honest about this situation. The Benson family owns the Saints. They do a great job. The Saints are incredibly well run. One of the great GMs, one of the great coaches, just had one of the great quarterbacks. They've been fantastic. Now, I mean, we always say Michael Jordan couldn't play baseball. Randy Moss tried basketball. It's hard to be great at two things. It's also hard to be great owning two sports franchises. The Benson's loyalty and their passion is football, and they're great at it. The basketball, we got a good price on it. And the players can feel that. And, you know, listen, New York City's great, but it's never felt like a college football town. Phoenix is great. It's never really felt like a hockey town. New Orleans is great. It's never really felt like an NBA town to me. It feels like an NFL town. It's the South. It's college football. And I think the players kind of feel it. The players feel like, and you're Zion. You're this emerging super. I'm not even sure if you're emerging. You're about an hour from blossoming into. His family, his agent, probably in his ear, you know? Like Ja Morant looks at his team and thinks, man, we've done a good job. We made the playoffs. We've done some good moving around here. We got good players. I mean, I watched Memphis. I'm like, they weren't as good as Utah, but Utah was the number one seed. They were really good. Pelicans can't get into the playoffs. Players aren't happy. Players want out. So don't confuse Luka's situation with Zion's. Dallas has a history of being pretty well run, playoffs, middle of the country, big sophisticated city. They've won a title. I mean, they were the first NBA team, if I recall, to really go with their own jet. Like, they've always been way ahead of the curve in terms of treating their players. So, you know, Dirk Nowitzki, like, could have left multiple times. He had no interest going anywhere. That tells you about that franchise. And even the problems Luka has had. Reportedly, he's going to sign an extension because he knows it's a good place. He just doesn't love all the people there.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN did an article about a month ago, the best 25 players under 25. It's insane. I mean, you get to about 23. They had, at the time, they had Trae Young like 16. I mean, you know, some of these guys, all of them, are getting better fast. Like, they're getting better. There's no, I mean, nobody's hit their ceiling yet for the guys I'm listing. I think they're all going to get better, some significantly better. So I'm guessing here, because they're all so young. They don't come out of college like Ewing or Duncan, where you have an established offensive repertoire. So just Trae Young's growth in the last 3 months is substantial. But if you were a GM of the 25 best players under 25, you get 10 to build your franchise around. Now, we're all GMs here. So there's six components that I would consider. Your talent. Just watch you. Wow. Then your productivity. A lot of guys are talented. They're not that productive. Leadership. Can you run the show for a decade? You're a grown-up. You're a craftsman. Compatibility. Do you get along with others? Luca's got early indications he can be feisty. Health. You know me on bigs. Hurt early, hurt often. And then I would say potential. Some of these guys' ceilings, Bam Adebayo's a nice player. I think he's closer to his ceiling than Ja Morant, who may not even be scratching the surface. So these are the 10 in order. I'm a general manager. And again, a lot of this stuff is these are kids. Let's start.
Number one.
So I would go Luka. Why? He's already had more 40-plus playoff games than Duncan, Magic, Lillard, Reggie Miller, Ewing, Drexler, and Oscar Robertson. He's not close to his ceiling. I think his conditioning will get better. I think his strength will get better. I think he'll be able to occasionally get off the floor for a few minutes. I'd put Luka one. That's an easy one.
Number two.
Now it gets hard. I got to tell you, I see Trae Young. He's averaging 29.5 points in the postseason. That's four more than he averaged in the regular season, and that's against two excellent defensive teams. His ceiling, he's just scratching it. He averaged 9.5 assists this season. That's the highest of any player under 25. So he's a total playmaker. You got some Mahomes here. He can run, he can throw, he can score, he can assist, and he's getting better fast. Fast. Number three. I think I'd go Jason Tatum. I've already had 50-point games. Now, his ceiling, he's pretty close to it. I think he's a 26, 27-point-a-game guy. Now, I'll say this. He's not at his ceiling because his points, rebounds, and assists have increased the last 4 years. He is not at his ceiling. But I think we're getting close to it, and that is about a 27.5-point-a-game guy. Very dependable, can put it in the deck, can drive, can score at the rim, can shoot. I get a lot with him. And he's coachable. Stevens can be demanding. He's coachable.
Number four.
I mean, I'll go Devin Booker. Now, the leadership thing, he's talented, but they really needed Chris Paul to get to the next level. That's a little ding on him. Talent's insane. He's a natural scorer. By the way, better shooter from the field, better shooter from three, better shooter from the free throw line this postseason than the regular season. What does that tell me? He's good in crisis. He's been a better playoff player than a regular season guy. That's a big one. But the leadership thing, I don't know. He may just be a great talent.
Number five.
Ja Morant ain't close to his ceiling. I could have him low. He may be two. Rookie of the year. Everything got better in his second year. Like Trae Young, his confidence is through the roof. I don't even know where his ceiling is. Like he and Trae Young, no idea what the ceiling is. It's insane right now. And he's more athletic than Trae Young. But Trae Young at some point has been on the road just so productive. I have Trae ahead of him. Maybe a big mistake by me.
Number six.
Donovan Mitchell's been a little banged up this year. Plays on both ends. Again, I think he's closer to his ceiling. Ceiling's good. He's averaging 33.5. His ceiling is great. I think he indicates how good the list is. Because I think he, of all these players, he and Tatum are really close to their ceiling. And I love it. But Ja Morant and Trae Young could have another 25-30% to their game. I mean, if I said Trae Young averaged 34 next year, would you be shocked? I wouldn't.
Number seven.
Zion, health's a factor. It's all health. Doesn't defend. His game is, he's great at what he does, but there's holes. Health, frightening. Hurt in college, hurt in the NBA. Now, he's averaging 26 a game. That's the most ever for a player 20 or younger. His ceiling's insane. I'll probably regret this one, but there is a health issue, and he needs the right coaching. Don't take him out in three land all day. Let him be what he is, which is a gifted bucket guy, free throw line. A lot of Karl Malone here. Don't try to make him Jason Tatum the shooter.
Number eight.
Jamal Murray, torn ACL, bothers me. Very good player. The injury is something. It's something, but he's great.
Number nine.
LaMelo Ball, rookie of the year. Unbelievable. Way better than I thought. No health. I mean, he had a little injury this year. But again, we really don't know what he is. If he's this good now, what is he next year? I mean, this has had not been a great organization. He wins rookie of the year. What happens when he gets real teammates? Does he double his assists?
Number 10.
De'Aaron Fox. Nobody talks about him. He averages 25-7. And his scoring average has gone up every year. I think he's kind of close to his ceiling, but who's he played with? So just look at these players. And again, Bam Adebayo is a good player. But I don't think he's nearly as dynamic or as versatile offensively as these. I think it's a guard wing league. And obviously, a lot of you are saying, I'm living in the moment on Trae Young. Yeah, I am living in the moment. I'm watching it against two great defensive teams. He's eating them alive. I am living in the moment. I'm watching what I'm seeing against the Sixers on the next defense. And these are veteran coaches, Doc Rivers, Tom Thibodeau, eating them alive. What am I supposed to do with that?
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Antoine Walker is now joining us live. All right, Antoine, you saw my goofy list. Am I overvaluing Trae Young at two? Am I nuts on that?
I don't know if he's two. He's a terrific talent. He's one of the... I call these guys a hybrid point guard. They're not traditionally great point guards and like a Chris Paul, who's a real true point guard. These are point guards that have unbelievable scoring ability. For his size, though, he's really gutty, really tough. To see what he's doing against Philly when they got guys 6'8", 6'9", on him, his patience to be able to change his game up. He's maturing right in front of our own eyes on the biggest stage in the playoffs. So, he's headed that way. I don't know if he's number two, but he's very close.
Let's go to my list again. Is there anybody on this list that you would absolutely have? Like Ja Morant, I'm guessing he could end up being a battle for number one. On my list, is there anybody? I got Luka 1, Trae Tatum, Booker, Morant, Donovan, Zion, Jamal, LaMelo, Deer. Anybody too low in your opinion?
Probably Zion. I would probably put Zion in that top five. Of under 25, just because of the impact that he can have on a team, a franchise. You can get some pieces around him. You can actually make a deep run to win the championship. He's that good. So I think Zion. Ja Morant has been too inconsistent for me. He hasn't been there all season long. He had spurts. He turned it on in the playoffs, but I thought he could get that done night in and night out. So some nights I think he takes it off. But I think Zion should definitely be in your top five.
All right. So let's talk Bucks. So yesterday I got on this rant. where because LeBron and Durant are so gifted, they can do virtually anything. We think all these guys can do everything. And Giannis, Milwaukee has tried to make him into a three-point shooter, and it just doesn't look good. He's not natural. And last night, they said, nope, no threes. Just do what you do, and Brooklyn couldn't stop him. Sometimes I feel like, because LeBron is such a great Swiss Army knife, Antoine, that coaches and GMs feel like their guy's got to do everything, and you were in this league for 12 years. Guys can usually do one or two things at a high level. Everybody's not everything. Do you think with Giannis, Milwaukee is better served just being like, be the best defensive big, be great within 7 feet, and just stay there and do your thing?
Well, I think it's tough because he's a two-time MVP. And he's had a lot of success, and he's had the individual accolades at the age of 26. So it's very difficult sometimes as a coach and for people around him to tell him that, hey, you probably need to get the three-point game out of your game. And I'm pretty sure he spends a ton of time in the summertime shooting a bunch of threes. But you can't be good at everything. I was not necessarily a great free throw shooter. I wasn't a great 15-foot jump shooter. I can make it occasionally. I made free throws when they counted. So you got to figure out what you're really good at. And the space that teams are playing him with, he has to play from 15 feet in. That's where he's at his best at. We saw that in game six where he's attacking the basket. Obviously, he's a freak of nature in transition. Him, LeBron James, those guys are unbelievable in transition. So you're going to get 8 to 10 points that way. He just has to figure out how to be more an effective scorer without shooting a three-point shot. Not saying he can't never take a three, but it's not a part of his game. And when he's shooting threes, those are empty possessions for the Bucks. So he did a terrific job of that. Hopefully he continues to do that in game seven. But I still worry a little bit, Colin, about his free throw shooting.
Yeah.
Having the ball late in games. I still worry about that. That's something that he has to understand that he's not a great free throw shooter. I may have to give it off to Middleton, who's a better free throw shooter than I am and who is a great scorer too.
By the way, speaking of free throws, it's one thing if a big isn't a great free throw shooter. It's another if your point guard's not. Have you ever seen or played with a great player that lost confidence? And if not, fine. But how do you get it back? What do you do if you're coaching Simmons?
Well, I think one thing with Simmons, you got to continually get in the gym and practice and find a routine you like. I think Doc Rivers made a mistake in taking them out that game and not allowing him to be in to get fouled. You got to try to get over this phobia. So now that's in the player's head. You lose the confidence of the team. You at home. Now you got 15, 20,000 people now that don't want to see you get fouled late in games. So I think that's something with the coach has to show you confidence. Your teammates have to show you confidence. But it's something he has to continually work on, finding the routine that he's very comfortable with. And Ben Simmons' shot is not as bad, I think, as Giannis.
Yeah.
So I think Ben Simmons' shot is really, really close to getting fixed. And he doesn't miss as bad as Giannis missed. So it's about confidence. And sometimes that's a little coaching, when a coach has to show some confidence in you and leave you in the game in that situation. So Doc may have made a mistake in taking him out. We'll see as this series continues if Ben Simmons can get past that. But that's a tough thing to do to a player, especially a young player like that.
You know, speaking of Zion, story breaks yesterday that his family is not happy with New Orleans. Chris Paul didn't like playing there. AD wanted out. Story about Zion wanting out. John Hollinger reports they would be the team that would relocate. They're owned by an NFL owner. They're great NFL owners. This kind of feels like a side business. You know, it would be easy for people to go, come on, Zion, you're like 20 years old. Stop making demands. You could make that argument to me. And then there's me thinking, listen, you don't want to waste 6 years like Anthony Davis did. Where do you land on the Zion story?
I can understand why New Orleans went in a different direction. And Colin, every coach cannot coach young players. That's why I was so surprised that Tibbs had so much success in New York. But Stan Van Gundy, I played for Stan Van Gundy in Miami. It was a short time. I went through a full training camp, 20 games before Pat Riley ultimately fired him and came and took over. But Stan Van Gundy's a screamer and a yeller. Not saying that he's screaming and yelling at you at every play, but he's a coach that's emotional into the game. And some players are not going to be receptive to that. He's going to run really tough film sessions, point out all your mistakes, a lot of guys cannot, sometimes don't, young guys don't respond to that. And that's sometimes with these GMs, we recycle the same coaches all the time. That's why you have to get young, new, fresh blood coaches, because the league is younger. So you have to get younger coaches that can actually relate to these guys. And I think that's where the problem is at. And I think that's where Stan had his problem, because Stan is a different type of coach. He's a veteran coach. He's a screamer. He's a yeller. He's going to get after you. He's not going to let you make a lot of mistakes. And sometimes young players do not accept that and do not react very well to that. And he's got a very young team. And on top of that, Zion's family, they got to get out the way. It's too early in Zion's career for family to be going to the press and making demands. Let Zion fill it out. He still is a ways away from where he needs to be as a pro. So let him get some consistency in his game. Let him have multiple all-star years before the family start making demands. I hate to see that when you see the family gets involved. In the big leagues now. He's a grown man now. You don't need the family involved now. He can handle himself now. He's a big boy.
Did your family ever chirp? My family was not the kind of family that chirped in my ear. Joy, was your family a chirping family?
We're chirpers, but not with the media.
Antoine, what was your family like?
I'm a sports family, so we talk, but not to the media. That's all behind closed doors.
Yeah.
But I know not to bring that to the forefront. But I just think Stan was the wrong coach. When you start having those older veteran coaches with those guys, we got to get younger coaches to coach these younger players.
Yeah, no, I mean, look at Steve Nash. KD likes him. Nash likes him. I mean, that's a lot of this whole world in sports is relationships. Andy Reid works as an old guy because Andy's a young spirit. When you listen and talk to Andy, he's young. Belichick feels old. Andy's old feels young. To your point, it's Carlisle and Luka, 61-year-old coach, 22-year-old kid. Antoine, great seeing you again.
Yes, thanks seeing you too, Colin.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, there are very few people. A lot of artists write songs and sell merch, but they're not the Beatles. They don't change an industry. I don't know hip-hop particularly well, but like Biggie Smalls or Tupac, like kind of changed, you know, and I'm just kind of riffing here, but there are people that write songs and they're really good. And then there's Biggie Smalls that like kind of changed everything. And you're like, oh, that's Nick Saban didn't just change Alabama. He changed the SEC. He changed college football. It is now a one or a two team sport. That's great. Jim Harbaugh made Michigan better, but hell, he hadn't even changed the Big Ten. Still can't beat Ohio State. Nobody can ever beat Ohio State in the Big Ten. There's a big difference. And, you know, Michael Jordan, don't kid yourself, made the NBA global. LeBron inherited that. Michael made it global. Michael will always be more popular than LeBron. The look, the glamour, the style, Michael's more popular than LeBron. We can argue who's better. But Michael made the sport global. It wasn't global. It was domestic. You watch college guys. If you had an international player, it was always like, nobody care. Michael's like, everybody's looking for the next Luka. Everybody. So that's the difference, is that there's a lot of people that make money and they, they write songs or they act. And then there's people that you look at and you're like, oh, like, that James Dean, that kind of actor where for 30, 40 years, tough guys are trying to be him. And I look at Brady and Rodgers. Tom Brady literally in 1 year changed the league. His team is now the team. Overwhelming favorite. He changed the NFC. Doormat to the Kings. It's like almost unfair. He also changed by leaving the AFC. Mahomes now, Andy Reid, it's their conference. Josh Allen, the AFC East is his division. Belichick's reign as a super genius, they were under 500. That's a lot of change. Aaron Rodgers, like KD, he's talented. But let's say he left Green Bay and went to Denver. He wouldn't be favored in his own division. He wouldn't even change the AFC West. I mean, some of that is we don't know if Vic Fangio is great. We don't know about his new GM. But there's a big difference between making commercials, doing Jeopardy, being great, transforming the league. Brady has transformed the league. Look at how many general managers are in this league from New England. Look how many offensive coordinators and assistants. And you could say, well, that's Belichick. No, I saw Belichick last year without Brady. And I saw Brady last year without Belichick. How'd that work out? Now, we always argued Brady, Belichick, who gets the credit? They're both great. But we got to go 60-40 Tommy here, right? We all good on that? Is 60-40 Tommy now? It's not a 50-50 split. I love Pete Carroll. Is 60-40 Russell Wilson? We got to be fair here. I love Andy Reid, but is 60-40 Mahomes now? We saw Belichick, Brady. It's not an even split. All those weak draft picks that Tom made look special, they're not. New England had to go to the free agent market and spend $100 million. So it just, there's, Saban changed so many different things. The Beatles, Bob Dylan, Biggie. These are rare. Don't conflate that or confuse. Like whenever we talk Michael and LeBron, you know, I hear a lot of people, you know, on, and LeBron's great, don't get me wrong, but you don't quite understand how big Michael Jordan was. Let me tell you something. Yeah, I've been at games with LeBron. I like LeBron. He does more things well than Michael. Michael was not only the best player, he was the best looking player. He was the most stylish player. He was the most glamorous player. He was the winningest player. He was the most clutch player. Like LeBron, there's little dents in the armor. LeBron, now the knock on Michael, he didn't embrace politics. Well, let's be fair about that. Most athletes were told back then, stay away from that stuff. When I got into sports casting, don't talk politics and religion. Now I often get criticized. You don't talk politics. I mean, well, how come you don't talk about? Well, because I was trained when I got into this business, you don't talk religion and politics. And so I try to stay away from them unless there's a Drew Brees situation or a Kaepernick situation, or there's a moment, a LeBron situation. I'll talk about it 2-3 times a year, but I come from the people tuning to me for sports, not politics. If I'm going to talk it, it better be a jab. I better not spend a round on it. But it is interesting. As good as Aaron is, if he moved, NFC wouldn't change. Tom would still be the favorite. Kyle Shanahan and Tom would. I mean, it's like Kyle already beat Aaron head-to-head in the NFC Championship. Tom just beat him twice last year, head-to-head in the NFC Championship. Wouldn't change the NFC. Wouldn't change it at all. I mean, it would change the NFC North. But even that argument is, even that argument. Green Bay is the best-run organization in the NFC North, right? I don't think you can dispute that. In terms of developing players, now, let's be fair, they don't get free agents. You can't blame them for that, right? Like, Buffalo's not exactly a free agent hub. Memphis in the NBA is not a free agent hub. So, the NFC North, the Packers would still be the best organization the day he left. And for a year, they'd be the best roster still. I mean, they would be. Tom left New England, it unveiled how bad some of those offensive draft picks were. It's like, nobody can get open. These tight ends are terrible. They don't have a star running back. And again, this is not a shot at Aaron. It is, because Aaron, I've always said, is KD. You know, Brady's, you know, now the NFL's not an international sport. It's a domestic sport. Basketball is more international. Baseball is more international. Soccer is really international. Hockey is more international. So, Tom, there's limitations on how international Tom can be. But Brady is like Jordan. He changed everything. The shoe deals, even now the NFL, it does feel bigger with Tom than it did 20 years ago. It feels broader.
Well, I think that's the difference between a great player and the greatest player, right?
Yeah.
They transform things. Michael Jordan was the greatest player. He transformed the entire, he didn't just transform the league, he transformed basketball globally, like on every level.
Muhammad Ali did this in boxing. Tiger did this in golf.
Yeah.
Like if you said three biggest athletes ever, like I would say Ali, Michael, Tiger. In my life, like even in broadcasting, Oprah owns her own network.
Yeah.
She wins. Howard's probably second. Stern probably second. But it's like, you know, Oprah is like, oh, no, what? I don't work on the network. I'm on my own network. That's like, okay, that's the way to do it.